Hey, let's learn Nuschus to start the week in such a way. In Reish Ayin Tes, the Alter Rebbe is now explaining to us how the entire program that we've been learning in Rotzav Hashayv, how it is lived through the Yom Tovim of the month of Tishrei, and everything is leading up to the which in many respects is the biggest day of the entire year, which is Shmini Atzeres. So we, on top, we'll begin a small doicha. Down on the right hand side of page Resh Ayin Tes. What we go through in the month of Tishrei is Kaveya, what's going to be the entire year. And the beginning is Rosh Hashanah, Bechinas Smal Deicha, Zugarim Lias Tachas Deraishi. Now we learned about Rosh Hashanah, and that the Iker Inyan of Rosh Hashanah is that feeling that a person has of merirus. The merirus doesn't mean sadness, as we spent a lot of time over the years talking about. It means the bitterness of feeling, of tasting one's distance from Hashem Yisbarach. But the Baruch Shalom is a melech, he's a king, like it says the famous thing from Baron Kalina, that if I'm a king, then how come you haven't come to me until this time? So this feeling of distance that one has, the merirus, the bitterness of being far from Hashem Yisbarach, creates a tremendous longing at Rosh Hashanah to come back, then that begins the process. But that's the smilei tachas l'raishi, small daicha, when a person feels a little bit pushed away, he feels distant. And that, remember, we're talking about the dance that each Jew does with the Rebbeinu Shalom of Rotzav Hashayv, of running and returning, right? Achav Akedem Tzartani, Nachin Echazel HaMaimu. There's that part of us that comes from before creation, that's Kedem, that's before there was any craziness and tzaris, and before we had any distance from Hashem. It's that part of us that's Kedem, that's before everything, that's higher than anything, right? That's called Kedem. And that inspires within us a tremendous ahava for Hashem Yisbarach. On the other hand, man was the last in creation, was achor, was the end of creation, achor. And the achor aspect of man means that in certain ways he's further away from God than anything else that exists in certain ways, as we spoke about Barichas. And we discussed the tachlis of man's life, being able somehow to draw into that time of the day of his life, that's the time of Achor, to tap into the feelings of Kedem, from that, to draw from the Kedem part of one's existence into the Achor, to be able to, after the davening, during the day, to be able during that time to experience a closeness to the Rebbeinu Shalom. So he's explaining that we go through this every year. In Tishrei, let's learn now, Reish Ayin Tes, the right-hand side on the bottom there. Begin a small deich, as a gremli as tachas de reishi. The tachlis dechi yazu, the richuk zeh, he b'shvil akiruv shel achre zeh. The whole tachlis of feeling this distance and this bitterness of being far from Hashem, when one begins to think on Rosh Hashanah, that he's the melech, and if he's the melech, then how do I explain myself? How do I rationalize and justify my actions the whole year in light of this new reality that he's talking of the melech? New reality means it's not new, but for me it's new, that he's the melech. If he's the melech, then what's wrong with me? So the tachlis of this richuk, so there's this initial feeling when you come into the Yom Tov, when you come to Rosh Hashanah, there's this initial feeling of richuk. But of course, it's only for the purpose b'shvil ha'kiruv shlachrezeh. It's only for the tachlis of the kiruv of getting closer than ever before. That's the dance, getting closer. So when you move away by the dance, it's only to be able to get closer. K'mal shalamachal shai richuk u'sibas ha'kiruv kanal, as we learned, right? That the richuk, the distance, is only that there's now such a longing that I can't bear to be without this person, I can't bear to be without the Baruch Shalom. So when you move further away, there's that draws you closer. There's a Tyra from the Holy the Kozel Givarov. You heard of the Kozel Givarov? No? Oh. The Kozak Rav wrote a sefer called Eretz Tzvi. After Rav Meir Shapira died, it was shock. He was a young man, Rav Meir Shapira. He was in his 50s. After Meir Shapira was nifter, the Kozak Rav, Rav Aryeh Tzvi Fromer, he took over. He was a Goyin HaKadosh, Mamish a Goyin HaKadosh. And we have from him two Svarim on Chumash. We have Tshuvas and Chidushim, but we have Eretz Tzvi on Chumash and Eretz Tzvi on Yom Tov. It's out of print on Yom Tov. Chumash, Bekoshi, you can get. So he has a Torah in Parshas Vayakel on the Inyan of why is it that the Rebbeinu Shlomim waited? The Mishkan was finished on Chaf Hei Kislev, right? It was finished by the 25th of Kislev. But for whatever reason, we weren't allowed to put it up. The Rebbeinu Shlomim told us to put it up on the Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So he talks there, the Kozel Giver talks about why is it. Not Chazal told us, but he explains from where does the energy of Chanukah, where does Chanukah take its koiches from? That Chanukah has the koich to give light to all the years of Golas, right? More than any of the Yontif, Chanukah was given to us Mamish and Golas. It was given to us, not only Golas, it was given to us by the Bayis Sheni. It was given to us. It's at the darkest time of the winter. It's at the hardest time of the year. And Chanukah has such a koich to warm Jews and to light it up for us. Where does Chanukah take such a koich? See here, the Kozak says of art. I mean, it's a whole long time. The Nakuda is that the koich of Chanukah comes from an unfulfilled longing, from a Jew feeling tzibrochen. Why? Because we were all set. The whole universe was waiting for Chaf Hei Kislev, when the Shekhinah, when the Mishkan would be done, and now we'd be able to bring by Moshe Rabbeinu, and now we'd be able to bring the Shekhinah into the world, right? The whole universe, and every single Jew, since the Shamas, since before Bereishis, since there was ever anything, before there was anything, was waiting for that day. And it came to that day, Chaf Hei Kislev, right? But Moshe Rabbeinu, the Baruch Shalom, said, no, not now. We don't have a Hasaga this, of a Chas Nakala, standing under the chuppah, can you imagine? A chasen kal standing in the chuppah, and then the rav says, now I'll have to put off a couple of months. Even my chasen kal, we don't have a hasaga of that. A couple of months. Right? It's not a hasaga. So, of that feeling of merirus, of not being with the one that you want to be with, not being able to be together, everything should have been. Everything was all set. Everything was ready. It's geitnish. So the Kozak says, why did the Baruch Shalom do that? Because the Baruch Shalom knew that there had to be this in this Chanukah, this Yontov of Chanukah, that would be such an agagum, such an ahava, that it's going to have to give life to Yidden who are in a place where they can't be with Hashem, where they're on hold, where they're waiting, where they're anticipating, where they're looking forward to something, and it's not happening. It's not happening. So where's the whole Yontov of Chanukah come from? From when everybody was ready, and it didn't happen. It's not happening. The Baruch Shalom said, not now. Yeah, it's a Meredith for it. It's the whole Yontov of Chanukah. It comes from an unfulfilled longing. So the Memele, he says, that gives Chiyas to Klai Yisrael in all of Golas. It gives Chiyas because it's not happening. It is supposed to happen. We don't get it. Just like in Chaf Hei Kislev, it was supposed to happen. It's not happening. The Shekhinah is not coming here. It's supposed to happen. And Purim also. Because Chanukah and Purim both have such an Inyan. That's because the heta was given to build the second base of Mikdash. That's the heta was given. The 70 years were up. And everybody say, okay, let's go. Let's go back to Eretz Yisrael. Let's build the second base of Mikdash. And Kairish said, the Persians said, everything, go. And then what happened? So Haman Arasha, we know from that it was Haman, and that there were Amalekim, that they sent Kisvei Sitna. They sent around making trouble. And for whatever reason, with these anti-Semites, the second base of Mikdash wasn't happening. The building, the construction was held back. So what was Klai Yisrael's matziv? The Baruch Shalom has given us the green light. The Baruch Shalom told us 70 years. The Goy Kairish said, go ahead. Everything is okay. And everybody's all set. And we're all supposed to go back to Eretz Yisrael and we're going to build the second base of Mikdash. And then the Maaser from Amalek and Haman and whatever, they sent their own letters and the building had to hold, they couldn't finish it and they couldn't build the base of Mikdash. So the Eretz Tzvi, the Kozak, says that the Yontov of Purim comes from the same thing, yeah? The two Yom Tovim of Golos. The two Yom Tovim that are during the week, not Shabbos, the Yom Tovim. I mean, there's always a Shabbos Chanukah, but Chanukah is a Vachid, the Yom Tovim. The two Yom Tovim of Golos come from what? From a matziv of wanting and not understanding why we can't, and just something holding it back. That's where Chanukah and Purim come from. Because the gagum have to be gagum that give us life and chiyas to keep on waiting. That's what he said. That's the richuk, the tachlis of the richuk. Sometimes the tachlis of putting off the wedding, or the tachlis of sometimes I have, you know, sometimes a lot of times I has, you know, nowadays with the chasanim and kalas, so the with the dates of the chasna with the days, if it doesn't come out, then the words seem mechupas nida. So everything with the medications and all these different things to make sure that it shouldn't be mechupas nida. Okay, in halacha, it's a chashuv thing that it shouldn't be mechupas nida. So that's why there is an inyan like that. But the derech klal, when I talk to chasanim and kalas, I tell them don't start with the medicines. It's not a good thing. Don't start with it. But waiting our whole lives to have this moment of the chasna, you'll wait another 3 days. So it sounds to a chasna kal, it sounds like, you know, the cruelest thing in the world. There's such a thing as hashgacha pratis. I understand that you can make with the medicine and it's not a good thing. Many, many times that the girls start with these things and they have other problems with staining and different size. But if the Baruch Shalom is telling you, sometimes the Baruch Shalom says such a lesson to you, and he says, what you want is a good thing, and it's a beautiful thing, it's a holy thing, but I'm going to make it even greater for you, just wait another 2-3 days. Sometimes that's how it happens. So the tachlis, so sometimes we go through this Indian of Bechinas Smal Deicha, where you feel the left hand of the Baruch Shalom is giving you a little bit of push away. Smal Deicha. But this whole Richa is only Bishvil Hakir of Sha'achriz. It's only for the purpose of being brought much closer. Like in the dance, when you move away and then you get closer. And that's what it says in Pasuk. Smilei, that Hashem's left hand is tachas l'reishi, is underneath my head. The deeper meaning of that is Sha'avayda de smal doicha. We don't want the Rebbe Shlom's left hand, because the left always means distance, and the left always means pushing away and din. But what's amazing about the pasuk is it's such a warm and embracing and beautiful pasuk, because it says Smilei, where's Hashem's left hand? Tachas l'reishi. It's underneath my head, which is the highest and holiest part of a person. So what the Alter Rebbe is explaining is smile tachas l'reishi means that although I feel the smile, I feel the leftness of being pushed away, the emes is that the Rebbe Shalom's left hand is underneath my head, is tachas l'reishi, only for the purpose, that distance is only for the purpose of lifting me higher. Like sometimes, you know, that in order to pick something up, if you try to pick up a heavy box, stand like this, you'll break your back. And you won't be able to lift it up. What do you have to do? You have to bend down. Right? You have to bend down. You have to pick it up. So, when the Baruch Shalom says, when he says in Pasuk, Smoila tach l'roishi, it means that every time a Jew is being pushed away, he feels that left hand. Behemes, it's tach l'roishi. It's underneath my head. Shiroish adam nisa v'nigbala medrega gavay ma'ayda. The Baruch Shalom is bringing you up, like lifting something. The Baruch Shalom is lifting you up to a higher place. Hashem smiley is baruch hu tachas l'roishi kivyachol. Kivyachol, it's under my head, Hashem's left hand. The roishi koi al pnimius haneshama. My head means the deepest part of me, the pnimius haneshama. The davka ayidei hergish harichuk. And the davka comes from the left hand. You would think it would say, yaminai tachas l'roishi, Hashem's right hand. No, it says smiley tachas l'roishi, it's the left hand. Is the dechia. Davke the hergish arichu nifal hakiruv ben pnimius and neshami im kutshabrichu. The davke from that small deicha being from the distancing, which is experienced in Rosh Hashanah as a feeling of tzibroch and kait, that hamelach. What am I saying, hamelach? Look, am I kidding myself? Hamelach. So that's tzibroch and kait. Which doesn't mean yet, of course, on Rosh Hashanah, the person goes through all the pratim. You're not supposed to talk about Yaveiros and Rosh Hashanah. There's not, we don't make viduim in Rosh Hashanah. But a person feels that in general, a feeling like that's, look at the Malchus. What kind of, it's such an unbelievable Malchus, and where am I in this Malchus? That's Rosh Hashanah. Like, where do I fit into this Malchus? I'm standing outside the Malchus. I'm not invited to the, I'm not part of the party. What kind of Malchus? So a person feels that richuk, but that's all in order that there should be a kiruv from the pnimius, ben a pnimius and the shamim kutshub richuk. Until when? Until Yom Kippur. I mean, not until it goes further than that, but this is the program. Ad shab Yom Kippur, lifnei havaya titaru. Lifnei havaya, b'chinis panim b'panim. And until Yom Kippur is panim b'panim. Panim is lifnei Hashem titaru. Lifnei Hashem means then you're no longer being pushed away. Then you're no longer, it's no longer smile-like. Then it's panim el panim, face to face. Which is the inyan of, also the inyan of the luchas that were given in Yom Kippur, the whole inyan of Yom Kippur. V'zeu inyan Yom Kippur. Shabbat b'siyim v'chaisam aseresim etshuva. Sha'oz huzman kiruv pnimi zeh ben pnimiyis ha'neshama, which is a mezgal of pnimiyis alayv, in pnimiyis elokus. Yom Kippur is a time of unbelievable closeness when a person faces the Baruch Shalom Kivyocha, where the inside of who I am is able to face the Baruch Shalom after spending all these days peeling away all the things that have kept me away from the Melech, all those things that are separating between me and the Melech, between the Pnimius of my heart with the Pnimius of Elokus of the Baruch Shalom Kivyochel. K'meshakosav Gabi Yom Kippur Lifnei Havaya Tetaru. Lifnei is a Lashon Pnimius. Pnimius Lifnei is Lifnai V'Lifnim. Lifnei, that the inner part of me is able to stand up to the, is able to look at the Baruch Shalom on Yom Kippur. Lifnei Hashem Tetaru. Lifnei is Lashon Pnimius, and a Pnimius de Shem Havaya. V'nimtze sheha'odem v'akadosh baruch hem kivyochel b'b'chines panem b'panem. On Yom Kippur. Panim b'panim, face to face. Shezeu ha'kesher ben pnimis alev and pnimis d'shem havaya. B'kayach ha'tshuva mu'umka d'libel chesiv me'mamak m'kosich ha'shem. Chesiv b'kshu panai is panecha havaya avakesh b'chines pnimis alev. B'kol zenif alev they had tshuva mu'umka d'libel. This is brought about not by a person just saying, oh, I'm so far from Hashem, forget so far. God forbid. But because of that feeling of bitterness, because of the richuk that a person lives through during that time of shayv, when he's far from Hashem, when he's at that part of the dance where he's away from Hashem. So now he looks from far away. He looks from far away and he feels a need to return to Hashem. Umka d'libi. He can't stand being so far away. So he does tshuva me'umka d'liba, which is the whole time of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. It's tshuva me'umka d'liba, and all the slichas and all the avayda of Aseres Yemei Tshuva is me'umka d'liba. Shal zeh nemar mimamakim kresicha havaya, which is what we say during that time of the year, every day. And we learned the maimer of mimamakim, Baruch Hashem, last year. Shiyakriya l'Hashem me'umak halev davka. It's the calling out to the Rebbeinu Shalom, the Oimer Kalev, mamish in the depths of the heart, screaming that I want to be back to you. I want to get back together with you. Al zeh nemar, bakshu panai, es panecha havaya avakesh. What does that mean? Which we say also during the entire time of the year by the Dover Hashem Oiri. Bakshu panai, koi al pnimi salev. Bakshu panai, seek out Panai, Bakshu Panai. The Baruch Shalom is saying Bakshu Panai. The Pnimi Salev, reach out to me, the Baruch Shalom says, with the innermost part of your heart, reach out to me. Me'umke deliba, mimamakin, Bakshu Panai. And what do we say to Hashem? Es panecha havaya avakesh. Es panecha havaya avakesh. I will seek from the depths of my heart, I will look for the panecha, I will look to see your face, meaning no longer from behind, no longer from a distance, no longer in a way of separation, but as panecha havaya avakesh, from the innermost point of my heart, which is my panim, my innermost point, which is my face, as panecha havaya avakesh, I will seek to look at your face, with my face, I will seek to look at your face. You know, sometimes you have a siman, not always, but there's a siman of a child who's, God forbid, hurt or abused in a home. I know that This is something that I've discussed with, you know, I've heard from therapists and different things, different times. You have certain children that they can never look at you in the eyes. They'll never look at you in the eyes. It's not a simple mufa, because you have sometimes children that have other inyani. But sometimes when you have a child that's been very, very hurt, and very and he's become fearful and he's afraid, it's a strong symbol that the kid never looks at anybody. When I was teaching, we had this discussion, because when I was teaching, all the years that I was teaching, you know, sometimes you would get, every year there'd be a kid like that that never looks at you. And not only at the rabbi, it never looks like at people, never looks, it's always like, the head is always someplace, the eyes are always someplace else. It's never panim b'panim. That's a simon of a person. You, not always, but very often it's a simon of somebody who's hurting. A simon of someone who's hurting. There's something wrong. A person who's healthy, a person who's happy, generally, is able to live in a way of panim b'panim. He's able to look at people in the eyes, look at his parents in the eyes, look at his rabbi in the eyes, look at his friend in the eyes. There was a Talmud that I had that came from a very hard background, that he was engaged. He was going out. Oh, Hashem, it was a shidduch that I was zeichet to make with a girl, a student of mine. They have Kanana now. They just had their fifth child. So when they're going out, when they were already about to get engaged, so she came to talk to me. I was very close. She's one of my talmidas. This girl is a big tzaddik. She came to talk to me, and she said, and he's also a big tzaddik. So she said to me, he doesn't look at me in the eyes. He looks, for, you know, for a second. I thought, I mean, he can't look at me straight. And I said, I know. And I have the same problem with him. I know it's been, but it's much better than it used to be. And then, you know, we spoke, and he's working on this inyan, you know how many years. But over the years, Baruch Hashem, over the years, he's now holding very, mamish, I would say, nearly like 99% he's gewalt with his children, and he works on, he's conscious of it, to look at somebody in the eyes. Panim v'panim, diba Hashem imachem. The Baruch Hashem gave us the Torah panim v'panim. He wants us to give it to our children also that way, right? He doesn't want us to give it a different way. He gave it to us panim v'panim. So he wants us to give it to our children, panim v'panim. And he told us, Ahav t'yaschem, when he said to us, I love you, you're my people, you're my kala, he wants us to be able to tell our kalas also, panim v'panim. He doesn't want it to be panim v'achar, ach v'achar chalim. It should be panim v'panim. So you know when a person is able to talk panim v'panim? On Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, a person is able to live in that way, panim v'panim. As havaya hash, as lifnei havaya to Torah, panecha Hashem avakesh. All of our lives, what we're trying to do is to look at Hashem in the eyes. That's what we're doing. Like it says in the Pirkei Cholos, that when you say Kaddish, 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 it says the Baruch Shalom doesn't have, the biggest nachas the Baruch Shalom has is when Yidden say Kaddish, Kaddish, and they lift up on their toes, like a little bit, on their feet, and they look at me in the eyes. Then the Baruch Shalom says that's the biggest nachas. The Baruch Shalom waits every single day for those moments when Yidden are saying Kaddish, 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 right? It's a good thing that they have also some Jews in Borough Park that still didn't doubt it. They say Kaddish, 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 and they look at me in the eyes, and I look at them in their eyes. That's panim upanim, viva Hashem imachem. When you love somebody, but why is it only possible Yom Kippur? Why is it not only, but why is Yom Kippur such a day of panim? Because then a person takes away all the things that are creating a distance, all the separations, all the chesitzes are taken away. There's no longer any peels, and there's no funniness, there's no joking around. Yom Kippur, even the biggest machas, you know, in shul, they're not like making the cracks. Yom Kippur, everybody's not behaving. Yom Kippur, everybody feels panim v'panim that the Baruch Hashem is looking me right in the eyes, and they're afraid. On Yom Kippur, a person feels that the Baruch Hashem is looking me mamish in my face. How could I make the usual, you know, the usual cracks, you know, whatever, and the usual narishkeit and talking? So it's panim v'panim. That's the inyan. When a person comes back to the Baruch Hashem and looks at him in the face. So he explains, "Obir inyan akiv l'Hashem b'pchinas panim v'panim." Da'ainu, you see on the left side. Da'ainu, shi'im agamosel Hashem terasa b'chol leiv nefesh liyas asaka b'lemazeh derech kariris. The Baruch Shalom wants like this: when you look at Hashem panim v'panim, then you still go to work. After Yom Kippur, you have to go to work. You still have to do the things of this world, but there's a different way that you approach them. How do you approach them? You approach them in a way of kariris. Kriyus means what, Rabbi say?
Cold.
Coldness. What does that mean? Because where your heart is completely, where your heart is embedded, that's called panim. You have to go to work. Of course you do. And you have to eat. You have to sleep. You have to play with your children. You do all those things. Everything you have to do, you do. But you know how you do the things of this world? I'm not talking about loving God. I'm talking about the things that you have to do. You do them with coldness. With a coldness. Somebody was telling me the other day, he works for a person who's so mishigah with work. And it was his boss is so crazy driven. They already have they're making $1 billion a year, this place. And this guy's a multi-million over a million times. The guy's so rich. But they can't so the guys are trying to get off a little bit, can we come a little bit later? Why? They're not, the guys that are, they're from. The guys want to be able to have a Seder and learning in the morning. Can we like to learn for an hour? Sunday morning you have to come and we have to have meetings on Sunday morning. Sunday morning we can't be with our children, with our wives and children. Sunday morning? No, because there's a tiny little bit of an edge that the guy are going to have over us. Because they have their things on whatever their meetings, Shabbos or Friday, I don't know. So he's got to keep up this thing. And they said when you talk to him, all he ever talks about is work. And then even when he says that we're going to go on a vacation, so he pays. He's a nice guy. He's a very, very generous guy. He gives a felt of tzedakah, and he gives the guys, we're all going to go to California to have a vacation to Chevra. We're going to go for 3 days to get a chill out. All he ever talks about by chilling out is what? It's right to the malacha. With everybody, take out your laptop. there's no vacation. There's no vacation. It's just now instead of talking about the money. Where it's 35 degrees, now we're going to talk about where it's 75 degrees. But it's all with the chamimus. His whole life is not Indian. So I said, he asked the guy, what about your wife and children? So his wife, I said, how does he live like that? How does his wife, so he says, so the person told me, his wife, what do you mean? Do you think his wife's happy about that? Do you think the children are happy about that? A person's relationship with your relationship with the Rebbeinu Shalom, your relationship with your wife and children, that has to be with chamimus. That's panecha avakesh. That's lefnei Hashem titaru. That's with the chamimus, with the bread. When you daven, when you talk to a husband, a wife, children, a chaver, you talk to a chaver. Sometimes you talk to a chaver. I mentioned this many times. There's certain people, when you're talking to them, they're always looking at to talk to somebody else or to do something else. You know that? There are people that are like that. But when you talk to them, they're always looking at their watch, they're looking at something else, they're beeping, they're pressing, they're this and God, this. But while you're talking to them, they take out something, and they start to write something out. So you think they're taking notes, are you taking notes? He's writing down. He remembered that he has a 10 o'clock appointment with John Doe at 10 o'clock. But I'm talking to you. How do you think about that? I'm talking to you. So what does he tell you? He says, John Doe's also a human being, you're a human being, so you reminded me of John Doe, because I'm talking to you. So you reminded me I have to talk to another human being. But there are people, when you talk to them, they're mamish, they're not there with you. That's why I mentioned many times, that's what it says, when the Baruch Shalom told Moshe to come to the house, and he says, alei alei ha'har v'heyei sham. The Baruch Shalom said, when you come up to me, don't just come and I want you to be with me. Alei alei ha'har v'heyei sham. It doesn't say just come up. He asked the Pchas L'Kushma, why does it have to say, V'heyesham, it's alei alei ha'ar, it says in Pasuk, just come to the mountain, come up to the mountain. So I say, V'heyesham. So Chazal said, because there are many, many people that when they go, they're with you, but they're not really with you. It says, alei alei ha'ar, V'heyesham, be with me in this place. Don't just come here, I want you to be with me. That's what it means, panim v'panim. So the Rebbe is saying that when you, in the yonim of this world, they're not panim v'panim. That's not panim v'panim. And the children have to see that on the parents, that when it comes to inyanim of this world, it's not panim upon them. Only when it comes to the Rebbeinu Shalom and when it comes to them, it's panim upon them. But when it comes to panasa, what do the children think? I know we can't always do what the children want. I always tried when they were little because I have mostly girls, I can't go. Obviously, when the girls are older, you can't go when they're singing, by their plays. They're already big girls, But when they were little, even though it was very hard, it was a difficult chesmah because I'm teaching Torah, so how do I take over? But I always tried, whenever I could, and some people it's not possible to be when they have those little Hanukkah plays, you know what I'm saying? To get to school. And it was sometimes people upset with me, and I tried. I couldn't always, but I tried when I was able to go to a Hanukkah play or something like that. Why?
Because like for that kid, so you could tell the kid that I have to be at work, and the kid understands it, and you say, and then you always give the speech about how I'm doing this for you. The kid doesn't chop exactly. If you really were doing something for me, you'd be by my Hanukkah play. You know, so you're saying I have to pay tuition to your building so they let you in to go to your play. But they don't think like that. We may have to pay to, you know. It's free admission. They don't understand that we have to pay for all that. So all they know is that when they're looking out in the audience and there are other daddies there, and their daddy's not there, it's felt that this is not good. And there are a million reasons why you can't do that. You're not chayef to. What are you going to do? You have to go to work. You have an achrayus. But if you can, it's a chashuv thing. Because the child sees, and I said this many, many times, I told over and told from my father, that I saw this hanhaga by him, that no matter what it was, any time, that when I needed him or to call him, right, he was in the middle of work, and my mother would get annoyed with him. My father would send out everybody from the store, lock the store, tell him come back later on.
Come to your sports matches?
Huh?
He'd come
watch
you playing sports?
Yeah, when we had at night, even though he didn't have a hasaga of what was going on, he would come. When I would come basketball games, so I used to like basketball a lot when we played in high school. My father, it's the dumbest thing on earth.
Yeah.
He would ask me, like, what's the aim of making this ball go into that hole? I don't. He said, in Europe, he said, only girls play basketball. He was worried about me when I was playing basketball. He said men played soccer and girls played basketball. So I had explained to him that in America guys play basketball. It's a very hush of a thing. My father would try to come. My mother would stay in the store. My father would, it was at night, but he would leave early. My father would try to come. He didn't have a soccer. And he would take me to baseball games and things like that. Even though my father, when he would come to the baseball, he always would bring something to read. He never even looked once. Even when everybody was screaming and standing up. You know, you, there's a taiva, like when you see people screaming and standing up. Like when somebody hit like a homer or something and everybody was getting up. My father was just sitting there the whole time like this. Never, ever looked up. But he took me. He took me. He thought it also was a crazy thing. You know, what the whole thing to him, he still doesn't chop exactly what happened the last 50 years here. He's not sure what's going on. But he knew that it meant something to me. And he took me. He took me a few times. I mean, a year we'd go Keseda, you know. Go. And that was, you know, when it came to in Yonah of Pinasa, I always saw that my father, even when he retired, how he retired so much, as I told you a few weeks, he retired so much earlier than his other Chaveim. And he's not a wealthy person, but he retired earlier because he said, what's the tachlis? The whole Indian of this world is with it. You have to, in this world, it's with the Karibas, it's with the Kolvins, not with the Chamimas. But when the children grow up in a home, and if they see that when it comes to davening, the father goes with the Karibas, it's cold. But when it comes to a baseball game, and somebody hits something, and everybody starts to scream, I can't see, move over. Everybody's going crazy, you know. Or they see that the father's sitting around, you know, a couple of days before the championship game, before the World Series, and the father's in shul, because what's going to be, and he's talking all the time in shul about the Yankees, what's this tumulting. So then he sees that my father's relationship to the world is with the Chamimus, is warm, and his relationship to the Baruch Shalom is cold. It's cold. So when somebody tells me, like, you know, go to a certain place, someone's putting a kid in the yeshiva, so the yeshiva tells, if you're looking for any warmth here, this is not a warm place. I don't know what that means. Can you imagine if Moshe Rabbeinu going up to Har Sinai, the Baruch Shalom, to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, if you're looking for any warmth over here, this name, it's not the right place. If you're looking for warmth over here, it's not the right place. If you want warmth, you have to, you know, you have to find it somewhere else. What does that mean, Bechlal? The Torah was given with warmth. The whole Torah is Eish, Mimina Eish Das Lama. The Torah itself is fire. And the Baruch Shalom gave it to us, Panim Panim. And he wants us to give it to other Jews, Panim Panim. He doesn't want to give. You can't say, I'm a Rebbe, but if you look, but I'm not. I had a discussion a few weeks ago. Somebody had it with the kids in the yeshiva, and I said, so, and I had to call them. It was a certain meeting with the kid. And I called up I was talking to the boy's rabbi, and I was asking how he's learning. This time the boy's learning Gevaldig, Gevaldig, Gevaldig. He's learning very good. So I asked him, and what about your Shemayim? He says, the rabbi told me, that's not my department. He said to me, I asked, what about you? I said, how do you see this your Shemayim? And do you see by davening, how does it look by the boy? He said, that's not my department. I'm not getting into discussion. I'm getting into discussion. They'll start making fun of me, you know, and start putting. What am I getting into discussion? It's not your department. How could a rabbi say it's not his department? I don't even know what he meant by that. It's not my department. Can you imagine what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying? The Baruch Shalom is asking. The Baruch Shalom says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "How are they doing the Yerushalayim?" Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I don't know. That's talk to Aaron. That's not my department. I just teach. You know, I say all the good stuff and I give a shiur. I don't. Yerushalayim. It's not my department. How could it be? There's no such thing. There's no departments when you're with Yiddishkeit. There's no department. It's a holistic program. It means the Baruch Shalom gave it with his mind and with his heart. That's what the Baruch Shalom gave us Yiddishkeit, with his mind kivyachal and his heart kivyachal. And that's how Jews have to give it up. So, panim b'panim means that when it comes to the Baruch Shalom, he says, I want you to be with me in such a chamimus. And I want you to be with the world. I don't want you to look at the world in the eyes. You understand? I want you to look at your wife in the eyes. I want you to look at your children in the eyes. I want you to look at me in the eyes. I don't want you to look at your boss in the eyes. What about that? Him you don't have to look at in the eyes. You don't have to look at your boss in the eyes. I mean, I don't mean, obviously, literally, you talk to people, you look at them in the eyes. I mean, you don't have to look at work in the eyes. You can do it. Self called self, it's a klala. Work is a klala, it's not a bracha. So what happens if a person turns around and he's 70 years old and he looks back in his life, and what does he have his whole life? From his whole life, what does he have? He was able to make more money, he's able to, but his the children, the family, the Baruch Shalom, they never got his eyes. It was always only when it came to other things, but with them it was never with the eyes, and with the Baruch Shalom was never panim upon him. That's what it means. Panim, you see, read that again. The last paragraph on Great Shayin Test. Panim, b'muvan ruchni, hu amokim shabihodim tekul b'chalei v'nefesh. Panim means where my entire heart and soul are planted. That's my panim. My pnim. Like two people who love each other, and they're looking at each other, they're facing each other. It's not some sort of an external, superficial closeness. Because they're near each other physically. The two people standing next to each other. You got people that are married, living in the same home for 50 years, and they're a million miles apart. They're a million miles apart. You can have two people that they're a million miles apart, but they're right next to each other. That's how it is. It doesn't have to do with kiruv makom, with being physically close. Hello, zel kiruv pnimi. It means an inner closeness. She pnimi is levavai dvuka b'chaver ha'ahuv lai. When you're close to a friend, it doesn't mean that you have to be with a person, next to the person. That's not what it means. It means that your heart is attached to that person. A person who is living in this way of panim upanim with Hashem, what does that mean? Perusha shekol magamosei v'cheshkei uritzoinai hemel Hashem l'staroso b'chaliba v'navshe. It means that I want to give my entire kishke over to Avedis Hashem. It means I want to be able from my panim to look at Hashem in his panim. All my cheshik and all my rotzen. B'chaliba v'navshe, b'chal tiyadoyse b'nyani elam hazeh. What about work? What about this world? What about taking care of this world? So he says, v'chal tiyadoyse b'nyani elam hazeh, limsei teref l'navshe, in order to find a parnasa, v'chen isuke b'masa amat, and heimiteich ha-hechrech. When it comes to work, you feel, okay, what am I going to do? It's a hechrech. I have to go to work. I have to. But something you want to do is not the same as something you have to do. And if those things get mixed up, it's very bad. There's what you have to do, and there's what you want to do. When a person has to do something, he does it by hechrech. He's not doing it with fervor and with excitement. You have to do it, so you do it. But when you want to do something, then you do it with ahava. So when it comes to parnasa, that's not panim b'panim. When it comes to this world, that's not panim b'panim. It's panecha Hashem avakesh. But in this world, you don't look at this world in the eyes. You do what you have to. But you do it mitach hechrech. You do it behechrech. Because you have no choice, because you have to live.
That's what it means. Cheni suka b'masa matan he mitaycha hechrich v'nasim b'kriros b'lihis pailus halev. And it's done with a coldness, without his pailus halev. You know, they have nowadays, for anybody that has anything, they have all kinds of reshetavis to designate people that you have, you know, you have ADD and you have whatever, all these different reshetavis. Okay, they're in them like this, and they're children and adults that have to be helped. But I've seen situations where people who are diagnosed with ADD or these things where they can't pay attention, but when it's something that they really, really love, they could pay attention for much longer than something they don't really love. So how does one help a person like that? It's not just a question of medicine. Medicine, they give medicine now like they used to give lollipops. Medicine, which is a dangerous thing, medicine. I'm not saying it doesn't have to be given sometimes, but it's a bedevit, a big bedevit to give medicine. These medicines are not good for you. When somebody loves something, so I've seen many times, and right away the kid is in the class, he's jumping around. So the rabbi, they send this, and that comes back with a bottle of medicine. You know, take the medicine, Yankee will quiet down. I'm not saying you could always avoid the medicine, but I do believe that if you see that same Yankee who can't sit for 10 minutes in the class could sit for 10 minutes in front of the television and more, it means it's possible to get Yankee's attention. Now, I might be, it's a hard case, it might be the only way you can get Yankee's attention is with a lot of crazy stuff going on. It could be there are children like that. But a lot of times it just means maybe if the Rebbe would give more of a chias in the classroom, if there'd be more of a chias in the classroom. So I told you that you could ask my son, Benjamin, that he was taking a, I hope this doesn't get back to NYU graduate, to City Graduate School, but there's some teacher that they have. So he's going there, he's learning, you know, psychology, whatever. And there's this class that's been given on the psychology of the classroom. And the teacher is talking, I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, and the teacher is talking about, is lecturing about how it's absolutely crucial that the teacher makes the material alive and exciting. And Benjamin says that this teacher is reading this straight from the notes while the eyes are half closed and his head is falling down.
The teacher is saying.
Yeah, the teacher is saying that the only way to be a successful teacher is by making the material by making the material very interesting. And Benjamin says it's in the most horrible monotone. He's never heard a less engaging teacher in his entire life. And the teacher's getting up there and like reading from his notes, telling you that this is how you have to teach. And Benjamin says, I can't believe he's doing this for like weeks and weeks, and he's not for a second like laughing at himself. Like a humble person would say, "Listen, Chaver, I know that I'm not doing this myself. I, and help me, I'm going to try." But he says, not one time in all the in since the beginning of the semester did he stop and say. I think it's not. It's a him. It's a lady. Not one time did she stop and say what. I got to work on this myself. Not one time. Why? Because she's so white, you understand? She's so far from what she's teaching. It's so not from her heart that she doesn't even think for a second. Like any one of us would say to a friend, you know, you got to stop talking Lashon Hara. Any one of us would think right away, and we would say right away, you know, and you help me, right? I know I'm not Yaitzi with this myself. Because we want to do tshuva. All the time a Jew wants to do tshuva, every second. This lady's teaching for months, and she's saying how you have to be the most lebedic teacher in the world, and she can't even keep her eyes up when she's saying it. And she doesn't have 1 second of thought. That's Benjamin says he waits every class, that she should just say, "I'm sorry, I'm not holding by what I'm teaching." And then he would forgive her 100%, and everybody would say, but all the kids, like after class, and he said, not even all the kids, he doesn't talk, he just had a couple of yidden over there, right? A couple of from Chaver. So the from Chaver after class, they'll talk to each other, what's going on? He says, none of the going to talk about it. Because they're also like totally jaded. You just sit down, you come in, and you write down. Where does it say you're supposed to care about anything? But he says that the frum kids that come out, they say, what's going on? When is she going to say something? This is the craziest thing. She doesn't say anything. How I don't do this. But it's so far from the heart. So what happens is that nowadays, if a teacher's not teaching panim upon him, So then the easiest thing is to say, give the kid this medicine, give the kid that medicine, that medicine. But it has to be with panim, with panimius. And okay, it's true there are certain kids that can't sit in the classroom. There are certain things like that. But a lot of times you see that there are kids that they could hold cup with other things, but they can't in the class. And nobody wants to say, but maybe to ask the rabbi, like, you know, if it would be a little bit more hislavas. Okay, rabbi's not supposed to be an entertainer either. You know, it's not like he has to get up and put on the show. But you know, if you care and you put in some kaiches with his spilus. I was zeichet to learn by Rabbi Yosher ben Soloveitchik. He was a very, very old man, and he was really not well. He was in his, it was the last period, that last kufa before he was not able to teach anymore. When he was in the hallway, when he was walking, he could barely move, and he used to sit down, and he came in, and Rabbi Yosher ben came in. He would sit down there like this without any kaiches. It was Rachmanis to look at him. And I remember because everybody would come over, like 100 guys would come over and clip on microphones. They didn't have these super duper things then, right? So they would come with the clips, and he would just sit there like this, and he would put on all these microphones. He was all hooked up. He just sat there like this. He didn't say anything. Everybody was putting all these wires all over him. Everybody would walk up and say, okay. He wouldn't even look. He was just like this. And they would put all these things. I remember once or twice he would go to the bathroom in the middle, and he wouldn't say anything. He would just get up. And then everybody was running to catch their tape recorders. He stopped. And he didn't know what was going on. He couldn't move because he had all these machines. Because they were big, you know, the tape. So he sat like this, and then it was something that we saw. It was a schus to see.
Animation. He came along.
Unbelievable.
In 5 minutes.
Like this. He would say, open the Gemara. And then he would start to move forward. You watched it happen. He would move forward. And then like a lion. It wasn't something b'derech hateva. Anybody that remembers that tkufa, it wasn't b'derech hateva. The next 3.5 hours, all of us were wasted after 20 minutes. After 20, you can't keep up with him, man. His mind was such a mind. After 20 minutes, we got to get out of it. You couldn't take it. It was too much. The sichlis, and trying to hold cup with him for 20 minutes, right? To keep up with him for 20 minutes. It was brutal. 3 hours. Trying to keep up with him. And he was with such a chiz, like that. And then after the shiur, it was ice. Man, you could almost have to carry him out from the place. But for those 3 hours, it was like a little boy, screaming and yelling and moving, and it was something that was not b'derech hateva. It was not b'derech hateva. Like the Divrei Chaim, that he, you know, Divrei Chaim had a leg that was short, that he wasn't able to walk normal Divrei Chaim. They used to carry him into Daving. They used to carry him to Vichai. And when they came, they would stop by the opening of the Bismedrish. And by the opening of the Bismedrish, he was Samanoira Hamokam Hazer. And he would jump off the chair. And until the end of Davening, by the last Kaddish, they were standing there to Chasidim. By the last Kaddish, after the last Kaddish was said, then the Vichai would fall and they would catch him. But by the opening of the Bismedrash, he would jump off the chair. Because that was his whole life. That was his panim. And the panim des chiyas, with the panim des chiyas, it's when you're far away, then there's no chiyas. So when a person's chiyas is in this world, when his warmth is with this world, when he faces this world panim upon him, then what gives him life? Then the television gives him life, the magazine gives him life, the narishkeit, the shmuzen, that give him life. And when it comes to learning, so a person opens up a chumash, it could be Shabbos came in at 4:30, and he already finished the Suda by 7 o'clock. And during the Suda, he was unbelievably labedic, this guy, talking during the meal. Nice, great, and he's eating doubles, triples, and talking, and everybody's having, and it comes after the Suda, after, like I said the other day, and then after benching, she says, all right, bring me the gracious. Never happened to him in the gefilte fish once in his whole life.
Never happened to him in his whole life by the gefilte fish. You ever see a Jew's head fell into the soup? Never. But you ever see a Jew's head fell into the chumash? Yeah. All of us. In the soup, nobody ever came Shabbos, God forbid, with a wet face with lakshin. But everybody walks away with all kinds of rashis and rambans all over his face. Isn't it? Right? After every Shabbos, Jews have. When they walk Shabbos morning to the soup, you can see rashis and rambans. If the printing wouldn't stay, if it would come onto your face, you'd see all over rambans and orachaim akkadish all over their face. You see a kedusha slave, you know, all over
the face. The lakshin's on the
bottom, though. But nobody walks into davening with lakshin on his face, with lakshin in his beard. It's a pella, isn't it? How does that happen? It's enough, you know, 15 minutes. It's because I'm tired. It's 6:30. What's the matter with you? If you'd be at work, you'd be on the 25th project of the day, right? You'd have four phones in your hand, and you'd be touching 10 different beepers, and you'd be talking to Tokyo and to London and to Paris and changing the whole world economy. And you're sitting there at 6:30 with your head in the chumash. Dribbling like this, the chumash that comes out. It's the tal tchia. That the Baruch Hu is going to bring the dead back to life with that you were dripping in the chumash. He'll make it tchia sameis. But that's how it is. Why? Because this world is if you're living in the world panim upanim, so then the world is a chiz. And if you're living, and when it comes to the Yiddishkeit is for the careers. A person could sit at a meeting for hours listening to all kinds of Yiddishkeit, but he can't sit in shul for an hour, for a half hour. He can't take it. He's got to get out. He can't take a half hour in shul. It's making him crazy. Everybody's looking at the watch in the morning. How can I get out of here? Not just Shabbos. Really, how can I find it? There's a guy told me he found a mini Yom Kippur. They finished Yom Kippur 11:30 in the morning. I said, 11:30 in the morning? Yeah, there's no chazans, nothing. Just the place says packed. There's not even you can't get a seat over there. 11:30 in the morning, Yom Kippur. So how's it possible? That's a chachma. But he wouldn't have that chesed. You know, I found a DVD that's finished in 30 seconds. You never hear anybody say that. I found a television show. It's done in 10 seconds. It's the best television show. In 10 seconds, it's finished the whole thing. When it comes to Yom Kippur, I found the Yom Kippur, 11:30, I'm out. I have a 7 hour break, Yom Kippur. It's a v'nahapichu. This world is with the kriyus, that's what he's saying. But when it comes to the Baruch Shalom, it's panacha Hashem Vakesh. I will continue, Mr. Shambay.